chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, we will read in the beginning. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, "Come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardius stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. May the Lord bless the reading of this scriptural portion. Last week we started our study on the book of Revelation. We are seeing that this book is offering us blessings from the Lord. If we read it, if we hear it, and if we keep it. And this book, as we have seen, is divided into three portions. Chapter 1, verse 19, it gives the very clear division. The things which thou hast seen. Secondly, the things which are. And third division, the things which shall be hereafter. And out of that, the first one speaks about chapter 1. There we see that John had seen the glory of Lord Jesus Christ. And the glory which John had seen in the island of Patmos, he is describing in this chapter 1. That is the first division. And we have seen again chapter 2 and 3, the things which are. There were seven churches during that time. So, the spiritual state of this church is described in chapter 2 and 3. And the Lord is sending messages to these seven churches. We have seen last week what is the meaning of these seven churches. It covers the whole church history. From the first century church till the Lord's coming. How the church is developing. What is the spiritual state of the church? Throughout this period is described in chapter 2 and 3. And at the end of chapter 3, or we can say that in the beginning of chapter 4, one event has to take place. That event is a very important event. That event is called as the rapture. Or the church period is coming to an end at that time. In the book of Revelation, if you study that, we have no direct reference to that of rapture. And that event we have to study from other passages of the scripture. Especially 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 to 18 if we study, we have the detailed account of the rapture. Some biblical scholars, they consider chapter 4 verse 1. We see that heaven is opened. And there came a voice from heaven. And the voice is of a like that of a trumpet. And that voice is calling John, "Come up here." And this call made from heaven, some believe that it is symbolically representing rapture. So that is referring to the rapture. Even at the time of rapture also same thing is going to happen. At the last trumpet, or it is called as the trumpet of God. God will call his people, the church,
to heaven. He will say, come up here. And the same call probably referring here. So we see that one thing is there, whether clearly written or not, one thing is going to happen at the end of chapter 3. And in the beginning of chapter 4, the church will be raptured and it will be taken into the presence of the Lord. And we will meet the Lord in the air. And that is the event, but no detail is given here. Now from chapter 4 onwards, look at the chapter 4 verse 1. I will show thee things which must be hereafter. That means, from chapter 4 onwards, the things that is going to happen in the future is described. Or, the things which is going to happen after the rapture of the church is described. All the things, future things are described here. From chapter 4, even unto the end of chapter 22. So, we have to look into the future events from chapter 4 onwards. So, the Spirit is telling to John that I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And we see that Lord was revealing him certain truth related with the future. And we know that the event after the rapture of the church, immediately that what is going to happen is that there is going to be a 7-year tribulation period. And the description of the book of Revelation from chapter 6 to 19, if you read, all these chapters describing the 7 years of tribulation period. As we know that, tribulation is divided into two, the tribulation and the great tribulation. The events that is going to happen during these 7 years are described from chapter 6 to 19. And in chapter 19, we read about the Lord's coming is described. Why he is coming? He is coming to rule on this earth. And he will rule on the earth for 1,000 years. And that descriptions are we see from chapter 19 onwards. He is coming to rule the earth. Now, what is the importance of chapter 4 and 5? If you consider the book of Revelation, the most important chapter in the book of Revelation is chapter 4 and 5. And 4 and 5 is the preparation of the heaven for the coming tribulation period or the coming judgment period. The judgment of God is going to fall upon this earth. And the reasons for the judgment and all the things are described in chapter 4 and 5. So chapter 4 and 5 is the preparation for the coming judgment or the tribulation period. The heaven is preparing. Now let us look into the chapter 4. I am not going into the details of chapter 4. I will briefly tell you what is the meaning of the chapter 4. Now, one word which is frequently appearing in chapter 4. Can you notice down? There is only 11 verses are there. One word is frequently appearing there. That word is the throne of God. That word is called the throne of God. The 14 times in chapter 4, that word is appearing. That shows that the throne of God is very important in this chapter. In chapter 5, if you look at the same word, it appears about 5 times. That means chapter 4 and 5, about 19 times the throne of God is described. And chapter 4, we see the angels are worshipping, or the heaven is worshipping God. In chapter 5 also, we see the worship in heaven. But there is a difference for the reasons mentioned there. Why in chapter 4 they are worshipping, and in chapter 5 also why they are worshipping. Comes to chapter 4 verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. The reason for the worship is very clearly mentioned. God, You are the creator of the whole universe. And because of that, we worship Thee. And it is for Your pleasure that You are created. Both the heaven and the earth is created by God. So, they are worshipping Him because He is the creator God. And if you look into the worship, we see the beautiful picture of worship here. The four living creatures are together, they are worshipping Him. Look at the verse 7 and 8, we see the four living creatures are mentioned. And the description of the four living creatures is also very interesting. Verse 7, and the first living creature was like a lion, and the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Look at that here. We see the four living creatures. The first one is like the lion. The second one is like the calf. The third one is like a man. And the fourth one is like an eagle. And again we see that each of these living creatures, they were having six wings. And the full of eyes are there. And they are without rest day and night. We see that they are worshipping holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. There we see they are worshipping God. What these four living creatures are speaking. Do you think that when we go there, so many animals are there like a lion and a calf and all these things, or eagle? That's not the meaning at all. The meaning is that is all what is in heaven, it speaks about Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you enter into the tabernacle of God, that's the temple of God or tabernacle of God, you look at everywhere and everything is describing about Lord Jesus Christ. As you enter inside, you see the altar of God, we see that. Altar speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. Then we say laver. Then we see the veil. And all these things which is explained in the tabernacle speaks about Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here we see the heaven. Heaven is the real temple where the worship is going on. So, a person who is entering into heaven, look everywhere. Whatever is there, it is all speaking about Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is there without the expression of Lord Jesus Christ. When God made the heaven, He actually had in His mind the description of the beauty of Lord Jesus Christ. Same way, this four living creature is speaking about Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the gospel, how many gospels we have? Four gospels. And look at the four gospels. Why four gospels? One gospel would have been easy, isn't it? The writing about the life of a person who lived here on the earth 33 and a half years, there's no need of four gospels. But we see that the four gospels are needed to explain the various aspects of Lord Jesus Christ. That is why four writers, they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ in a different angle and they were writing about it. You know, the first one is Matthew. What Matthew is writing? He is writing Jesus as the King of the Jews. So the Matthew is writing about Jesus Christ as the King and the King of Kings, and He is the King of the Jews. And we see that, who is the King of animals? Lion. So here we see the lion is speaking about Jesus Christ as the King. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So the animal, the lion-faced animal, speaks about Jesus as the King. The second animal, ox, isn't it? Calf. What is the peculiarity of the ox? Ox is used for doing work for man. It is a labor, servant. It is serving humanity. And the Gospel of Mark, if you look carefully, we understand the Gospel of Mark is speaking about Jesus as our servant. He came down on this earth to serve for us. He came down to serve and to give his life for us. And throughout the Gospel of Mark, we see that Jesus is described as the servant. The one word which is very frequently appearing in the Gospel of Mark, what is the word? Immediately. And there is no rest for the servant. Constantly he is working. If you get such a servant, is good, isn't it? If a servant is working immediately, everything is doing that one. Yes, Lord Jesus Christ was like that. Without any rest, he was working constantly. And such a servant is described by Gospel of Mark. So, Gospel of Mark is represented here like the calf or the ox. Now, the third gospel, what is the third gospel? Gospel of Luke. Luke is describing Jesus as a perfect man. He lived on this earth as a perfect man. And there was nothing wrong in him. And that description of Luke, we see here that there was the face is like the face of a man. He speaks about Jesus Christ, which is described in the Gospel of Luke. Now the fourth gospel is John's Gospel. John's Gospel speaks about Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Son of God who came from heaven. The eagle is a bird which flies very high. So Jesus Christ is from above. He came from above. So the eagle in this particular living creature speaks that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So look at that, even though it speaks about all the living creatures, but all the living creatures, there it speaks about various aspects of Lord Jesus Christ. That means one thing is very sure, if you go to heaven, definitely everything there in heaven it speaks about Lord Jesus Christ. And we see again the 24 elders are worshipping him. And they are casting their crown and worshipping. As I told you, very interesting, this is the place, the description is the throne room of God. We see the throne room of God is described. And if you look into the throne room of God, so many things we can notice there. Number one, we see one who is seated upon the throne of God. That is, God is seated upon that. Another interesting part of the throne room is that round about the throne, we read that rainbow is there. Verse 3 we will read, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. So, round about the throne, there is an emerald-like or green-colored rainbow is there. Again in verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting there. So, we read again and again, upon the throne and round about the throne. And out of the throne is also mentioned. So, round about the throne is very interesting to note down that everything is revolving round about the throne. I always wonder one thing. In this universe, if you look into that, nothing is stable. Is there anything stable in the whole universe? Nothing is stable. We know that we are living on the earth. Earth is always moving. Moving around the solar system. Sun is there. And you look at even from the smallest element, that is from the atom. What is the structure of an atom? Those whose children, they know that very well. There is a nucleus is there. And around the nucleus, what is there? Electrons are there. Electrons are moving around the nucleus, that is the atom. And same structure like that of the solar system. Solar system, the sun is there. And all the planets are moving around the sun. And even the solar system is moving around something else. And we look at the galaxies. You can see the galaxies are also moving very fast. And if you look at the whole universe, there is nothing stable. Everything is moving around something else. Then always my thought is that there may be something which is static, immovable thing. What is that which is immovable and static in the whole universe? Here we have an answer. What is the static point is that the throne of God. The throne of God is the only static and immovable thing in the whole universe. That means everything which is moving around the throne of God. Yes, we read in the Psalms that He has established His throne before the foundation. He has established His throne in the ancient of time. So God has established His throne, and it is the static, immovable thing in the whole universe, and all the universe is moving around the throne of God. Here we also see that everything is moving around the throne of God. And when they realize, we see that the four, the angels, 24 elders, 24 elders, they are falling down and worshipping Him. They are falling down and worshipping Him. And so we have to look into that. And they are casting down their nest and their crown, and they are worshipping Him. And we will read that verses. Verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before Him that is seated on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. Then they are saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now, two things we see here about the worship. They are orally worshipping Him. They say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, because Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So when we gather together to worship the Lord, we worship the Lord orally. Loudly we worship Him. But not only that, there's another part of the worship we see here. While they were worshipping, what they did is they cast their crowns before His feet. That is, material aspect of the worship. There are two aspects, is there? The best thing, the crown, the best thing they are giving to the Lord. When we gather together to worship the Lord, these two things are involved in that. In our Sunday morning, we know that we are worshipping the Lord by remembering His death and sufferings and His resurrection. When we take part from the Lord's table, when we gather, we praise Him, we adore Him. With orally we do that. But not only that, after taking part from the bread and the wine, what we do then? From our pocket. The best thing. Whatever God has given, from that we give to the Lord. That is, from the material things also we have to give to the Lord. We read the same picture in Genesis chapter 14, where the first time the bread and the wine is described. Well, the first time the bread and the wine is described. There we see that the Melchizedek is coming with the bread and the wine. The bread and the wine described there is reflecting or is a picture of Lord's Supper. Is a picture of Lord's Supper. And after receiving the bread and the wine, what actually Abraham did? He gave the tithe. Whatever God has given to him, he is giving to the Lord. This is what we have to do. When we gather together to remember the Lord, that's why immediately after the taking bread and wine, we pass the offering box. And one thing we have to understand, when we give to the Lord, what we have to give, the best thing we should? Hope I reminded you earlier also, I visited a place where I saw on a table a bunch of torn notes were there, all torn notes. I asked, what is this torn notes? Then I got an answer. What is the answer, you know? This is the notes which is coming in our offering box. I felt it so sad. So bad. If you cannot change the note anywhere else, where you have to put it? Oh, that is very sad. We have to be very careful when we give to the Lord. We have to give to the Lord the best thing. Don't think that Lord is not watching. We read about Lord Jesus Christ. He was sitting opposite to the treasury. He is watching what we are doing. What we are giving. So I made it a point in my life that whenever I go to offer the Lord, I see before at home, I see whether it is the best note. Even in ignorance, we should not do that. Here, they are casting the crowns before Him and they are worshipping Him. So the worship is very important and we have to do that. Now comes to chapter 5. There we have the worship is another aspect of the worship we see there. There also worship is mentioned. In chapter 4 we have seen that they are worshipping God as the Creator. But in chapter 5 we see they are worshipping God as the Redeemer. They are worshipping the Lord as Redeemer. Verse 12, you can read that. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Here we see that they are worshipping the in heaven the four angels, four living creatures and the 24 elders. They are worshipping, and the reason for the worship is also mentioned. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. A slain lamb is there. And that lamb that is slain is mentioned as a freshly slain lamb. That means in heaven when you go there, every time you can see the freshness of the cross of Lord Jesus Christ. It is not something old. Every time we feel it is so fresh. So the freshly slain lamb is the object of worship in heaven. And we see the reason is mentioned there because thou art worthy. The reason, thou art worthy to receive the scroll. Now, if you look at the chapter 5, we have a very interesting thing is mentioned. We see that John is weeping. And the reason for the weeping is also mentioned. We will read chapter 5, verse 1 to 4 in the beginning. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with the seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seal? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the scroll, neither to look on it. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the scroll, neither to look on it. Now we see that there is a scroll in the hand of God, in those who is seated upon the throne. Now there is a question arising, who can take the scroll and open the scroll? The search was made all over the universe. In heaven, on the earth, and underneath the earth, the search was made. And nobody was found worthy to open that. So when he found that John was weeping, and mighty angel came and said that, John, you need not to weep. There is the one who is worthy to open that. Who is that? Verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the root of David, hath prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And when that scroll was taken, immediately there was a song in heaven. And that song, if you look carefully, we can see that song of redemption is mentioned. Now, we are going to examine the peculiarities of this scroll and what this scroll is speaking to us. Now, if you look into the scroll here, first of all, it is on the right hand of God. And John is crying because nobody is there to take the scroll and open it. It's an unopened scroll. And not only that, it is written both the sides, within and without. And moreover, we read that it is sealed by the seven seals. The question is that, what is this scroll? What is the importance of the scroll? Once we identify this scroll, we will understand the message of the book of Revelation. The message of the book of Revelation is revolving around this scroll. In chapter 4, we have seen they are worshipping because he is the creator God. In chapter 5, we have seen that they are worshipping him because he is a redeemer. And so we see that scroll is something to do with the redemption. Now, look at this scroll. We will look into that carefully. We have to identify the scroll. First of all, look at that. The song indicates it has to do with the redemption. Now, another thing we saw that it is written inside as well as outside, within and without. Now, if you examine the Bible and if you examine the historical records, we understand that a scroll where it is written within and without and a scroll which is sealed, it speaks about the purchase deed of a land or some property. You know, we make agreements. The agreements are used in the olden days, they write within and without. And they are normally, that agreements are sealed. To understand this one, we have to look into certain other things. I will just to narrate an incident that will help you to understand the importance of the scroll. The time of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was in the prison. One of his uncle's son, he came to Jeremiah. His name was Hanami. He said, Jeremiah, you are my redeemer and I need some money, I want to sell my property. And I found that you are my redeemer, you have to buy the land. Now you know what Jeremiah was preaching on that day? All the days Jeremiah is preaching that this land is going to be captured by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is coming with his army and going to take the land because the people of Israel is disobedient. Now at that time his nephew is coming and telling that you buy the land. Who will buy the land? Anybody will buy the land? When the army is coming and taking away, naturally nobody will buy, isn't it? But the Lord told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you buy that. The reason for buying is that, not only Jeremiah prophesied that the land is going to be captured by Nebuchadnezzar, one more thing is that, you will go as slaves there and live in Babylon for 70 years. After 70 years, you will come back. So, when they come back, whose is the property? Whose inheritance is there? They can take claim the properties. Anyhow, Jeremiah was little hesitant to buy the land. But the Lord told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you buy the land. Jeremiah was thinking about it. And by the time this Hanamel came and said, I want to sell the property, so you have to buy. And said, how much is the money? He said, 17 shekels of silver you have to give. Okay, he said, okay, we'll go to the registrar office, isn't it? When you buy something, where you have to go to the registrar office and register the property. So we'll go to the registrar office and they went to the registrar office and they had some witnesses with them and they prepared the agreement, the purchase deed. The agreement was prepared and necessary stamp duties probably they might have paid and all the agreement was prepared and the witnesses were signed. And Jeremiah gave 17 shekels to his nephew. And the deal was sealed. And in the olden days, it is like that. Not only one document they prepare a duplicate document. Two documents. And the original document, normally what they do is that the original document will be covered and they will be sealed by seven seals. As per the Roman rule, the seven seals are there. So original document is a sealed document. But there is a duplicate, as I told you, there is a document is there, and that document is kept open. And these documents are very important. Purchase deed, this document is very important. They keep it there. Now what Jeremiah said, because Jeremiah is purchasing, he knew that within few days the land is going to be taken by the Babylonians. So what will happen to his property? After 70 years, his relatives or those who can claim the land will come back. So he wants to see that the property should go to his inheritance or his people or those who are really eligible for the land. So he has to preserve this both the documents. So we read in the Bible, Jeremiah told his secretary, you do one thing, these two documents, one is sealed one and other one is open one, you keep it on an earthen vessel. Come back to book of Jeremiah. We will read there. It's a very beautifully described there. Book of Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Verse 9 onwards, you please read there. 9 onwards. And I brought the field of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed, that is purchase deed, and sealed it, and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balance. So I took the deed of purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom. According to the law and custom, one of the thing is sealed, and which was open. Then verse 12 says, and I gave the deed of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Mahesheel, in the sight of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that signed the deed of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And we see that in verse 14, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take this deed of the purchase which is sealed and this deed which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. Look at that. Why he said like that? Keep it in a earthen vessel. Why? Because it should remain at least for how many years? 70 years it should remain. So if you want to preserve anything very beautifully, you can preserve in a earthen vessel. Best place. Not in a iron box, it will not remain, because iron will get rusted very fast. The best place to keep your documents is the earthen vessels. How you can prove? There are evidences about it. One evidence I will give you. You know, the oldest biblical portions which was collected is called as the Dead Sea Scrolls. I hope you might have heard about it. Its story goes like that. One day, one shepherd boy, he was moving in the Dead Sea area. He happened to throw a stone in a cave. He heard a noise there. He said something is there in the cave. So he went inside the cave. He saw huge earthen vessels are kept there. And he collected that. He looked into that. And the archaeologically department also was informed about that. When they excavated that area, they found that the earthen vessels are full of Bible portions. And they found that there is about 2,000 year old Bible portions, Old Testament Bible portions. And that was the most intact portion of the Old Testament scriptures it is available in the museum. That means for 2,000 years that was kept inside without any damage. Because that was kept on an earthen vessel. So earthen vessel is the best place to keep this document. That's why said you go and keep it in the earthen vessel. Now, what is the advantage of all this thing? That means somebody will come after 70 years and they will see that this property, Anathoth, whose property it is? Nobody knows whose property it is. Then they will see this earthen vessel. They will take this one. One is sealed, other one is open. When the open one, anybody can read. They will read it. This property was Jeremiah purchased for 17 shekels of silver. So whose property this is? This property is belonging to Jeremiah's children or those who are belonging to Jeremiah. And real owner, who is really can claim the property, he will come and he will see this document and you open and see that, this is my great-great-grandfather has purchased this property. This property is mine. So he can take the sealed document and he can claim that property. The sealed document is only the real owner can open it. Nobody else can open it. Now you understand the importance of the sealed document, sealed scroll. Now what is the meaning of here in the book of Revelation? In book of Revelation chapter 4, we are seeing that whose is this earth? The earth and the heaven is created by God. He is the creator, he is the owner of this earth. And this earth is belonging to him. And we see that Jesus Christ is coming to claim his property, that is the earth. But now who is claiming this one? Satan is claiming. You know, when Jesus Christ came into the world, what happened? One day the Satan came and took him on the mountain. What he did it? Within a moment he showed all the glories of the earth. And what he said? This is all mine. To whom he is telling? He is telling to the real owner, isn't it? What a shameful thing, isn't it? The real owner is standing there. To the real owner, he is saying that this is all mine. Just to worship me, I will give you freely. What a paradox it is, isn't it? Lord did not say anything at that time. We see that actually this property at present, Satan is claiming. He says it is mine. But the real owner, Lord Jesus Christ, is going to come again. And he is going to claim it. What actually God has done, God when created the earth, what he did it? He gave the tenancy right to man. And that tenancy right was given to man, but man, because of his sin, he forfeited his right. And now the Satan is illegally occupied here on this earth. And Satan is claiming that it is mine. And even to the real owner, he is claiming that. And we read in Luke's Gospel chapter 4, verse 5 to 7, we see that. But Jesus Christ is coming again. When he is coming again, what is he going to do? He is going to claim this earth. So he has the right to open the sealed document. So the sealed document is speaking about the right of Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth. Now let me ask you one thing, whether I want to know whether you are really followed or not. Now in this case, which is the open document? Two documents should be there. One is sealed. The sealed one will be taken by only the owner who is worthy to receive it. Which is the open one? Book of Life. Which is the open one which shows that the earth and the heaven belongs to God? Word of God. The Bible. This starts with the first statement. In the beginning God created heaven and earth. He is the creator. He is the real owner. So the Bible is the open book. Anybody can read and understand this earth belongs to whom? God. But Satan is saying that it is mine. As I told you, the sealed document, you know, when examples, I normally give an example. You know, normally the Roman people, they used to seal with the wax. You might have heard, seen about the red wax is there. and with the red wax they seal, and that seal shows that it belongs to a particular person. Only that person can open it. I know, I used to go for the examination in the university. When I go to the examination, after the practical examination, we give the marks to the children, and after giving the marks, we cannot show that marks to anyone. What we have to do? We have to keep it in an envelope. We keep it confidentially in the envelope. And on the envelope, we write to the controller of examination, University of Mumbai. He is the right to open that. But before that, after writing all these things, we seal that. We paste it, seal it. And I have, the wax will be there. With the wax, they seal it. And I have, my seal is there. My name is written, Koshi Matthew. And with that seal, I put it on the seal. So the wax, my name will appear. And I send that envelope to university. What is the meaning? No one should open this one. Only the controller of examination should open the envelope. That's the meaning of that. In the same way, the sealed scroll is speaking that only the real owner of the earth should open it. And who is the real owner? Jesus Christ. But now who is there? Satan is there. So we see that the book of Revelation speaks that Jesus Christ is going to come again to redeem this earth. The redemption of the earth is the main theme in the book of Revelation. When we know that the redemption process, in the process of redemption, not only the redemption of the person is involved, redemption of the land is also involved. When Jesus Christ died, He redeemed us, that's true. But actually, He not only He is redeeming us, He also redeems the lost earth, which is under the bondage of Satan. So the earth has to be redeemed. Best example, Ruth and Boaz, you know that. In Boaz and Ruth's story, we see that there's a saying that not only He should be redeemed, Ruth should be redeemed, the property which is lost also should be redeemed. So the person should be redeemed and the land should be redeemed. So book of Revelation speaks about the redemption of the earth. Now who is occupied? Satan is occupied. You know, if an illegal occupant is there in a land, is it easy to remove him? Very difficult, isn't it? If a person lost the property and somebody illegally occupying in your property, practically it is difficult to remove him. What do you have to say? You have to go to the police station, you have to bring the police, and you have to remove by force. This is actually is happening here also. That means in the chapter 6 onwards, we see that the three series of judgment is falling upon the earth. What are the three series of judgment? The number one judgment is the seal judgment. When the seal is broken one by one, the divine judgment is falling upon the earth. Secondly, we see the second one is the trumpet judgment. When the trumpet is blown, the judgment of God is falling upon the earth. Third one, when the third series of judgment is the bowl judgment. When the bowl is poured upon the earth, the judgment is falling upon the earth. Why this judgment? Simple reason is that to remove the Satan and all his associates from this earth. To drive away, forcibly removing him. As I told you, when the illegal occupant is there, we bring the police. And we tell the police to remove all these illegal occupants. This property is mine. This land is mine. This flat is mine. And we will claim upon that. And not only that, if he's not going, what will he issue? We will issue an arrest warrant, isn't it? And arrest warrant will come and the illegal occupant will be chained. Lord Jesus is coming for that. Jesus is coming again to claim this land. While claiming the land, three series of judgment is falling upon this world. And that three series of judgment is described in the book of Revelation. At the end of the three series of judgment, what will happen? An arrest warrant will come. A mighty angel with a chain, he will come. to whom to arrest? The Satan. Satan will be arrested. And he will be kept inside the bottomless pit. And this is the summary of the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation is over, in fact. Book of Revelation is very simple. We always feel it's very difficult. It's not difficult. The story is like that. That is, the earth belongs to Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming again to claim the earth. To claim the earth, what he has to do? He has to send the judgment one after the other. And at the end of the three series of judgment, the mighty angel will come and bind the Satan and will be thrown into the bottomless pit. We will study about that in detail later on. And Lord Jesus Christ will purify the earth and he will rule for 1,000 years. What a wonderful thing that is. So the book of Revelation speaks about the blessed hope of the believer. Jesus is coming again to establish his kingdom. Many people will ask so many times, why these all unwanted things are happening here in the earth? So many murder, all immorality, everything is happening on the earth. Is there a God in heaven? If he is there, why he is looking at that? Why he allows all these things? The answer is here. At present, under whose control it is? At present, it is illegally occupied. The Satan is controlling the whole this thing. He is claiming that he is the God of this earth. And he is always debating with God and the angel about the property. And one day, he will be removed here. And he will be thrown out from the earth. The real owner will come. He will claim the scroll. And he will open the seal. And he will say that this is mine, my father's property. And he will claim that. And he will rule on this earth. This is the picture we see in the book of Revelation. So this is the hope of the believer. Jesus is coming again to rule here for 1,000 years. So, as we are going to study this one, definitely Lord will help us to understand this truth more and more in clearly. So from next week onwards, we will start chapter 6. There we see the series of judgment is falling one after the other. And what a terrific judgment that is going to be. And thank God that Lord will take away the church before that judgment. We as a church will not pass through that judgment. And God has redeemed us. And we are going to be with him. And we will rule with him when he comes again. So let us also pray to the Lord. Oh Lord, you come soon. And establish your righteous judgments here upon the earth. And rule here on this earth. May God bless these words to our hearts.